In your Bibles, Matthew 22, just by way of introduction. But when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. How often do we read that in Scripture, how much they were astonished and marveled at Jesus' teaching? But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they must have really enjoyed that. When the Pharisees heard the Sadducees had been silenced by Jesus, a little bit of religious infighting going on, they gathered together. Then one of them, who was a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, the audacity that you could test Christ, right? Testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets." Amen. I think we've done fairly well over the years, and I think churches do fairly well about the theme of loving the Lord with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'm not sure we always do well with the loving your neighbor part. And without going into the origins of love your neighbor and Jesus echoing Leviticus and all the rest of it, the reality is this series we're about to do over the next 5 weeks is all about loving your neighbor. Now, when we say neighbor, we're also talking about your neighbor, right? Your work colleagues, about your unsaved family and friends, the people in your community that you meet and frequent all the time. After all, these are the people that you spend most of your time with. Not church people. Have you ever thought about that? I see you for a couple of hours. That's if you come to church and if I come to your house or if we have coffee together. But I spend most of my life with people who don't know Jesus. You're the same, right? It's about how do we love them better? How do we love them the way that God is commanding us to love them? How do we love them in such a way that we actually would fulfill this commandment? That's what this series is about. It's about building our confidence in doing that. It's about helping us with some practical tools around how to do that better. For some of us, we don't need any more encouragement or help with that. And I encourage you that if you feel, for example, I think of Pastor Kerry Chilcott, who's here this morning, who I call Pastor Uber, right? And we talk continually about the conversations that he has had because he positioned himself post-church ministry. He's positioned himself in a role whereby he has this continual, ongoing, daily opportunity, if he takes it, to actually listen to people and share the love of God with them. To create a kingdom environment right there inside of his car, just for a few moments in their week, maybe for half an hour, depending how long the trip is, right? And some of you have that opportunity. Some of us have that opportunity and we take it. And some of us have that opportunity and we don't take it. And so we're going to talk a bit more about it. So what does BLESS stand for? It's actually an acrostic. BLESS, what you're seeing up on the screen is a little part of the cover of a book written by Dave and John Ferguson called BLESS. And B-L-E-S-S stands for five rhythms, five practices that they will encourage all Christians to have. First of all, B stands for begin with prayer. That's what we're going to talk about today. It begins with prayer. Loving your neighbor starts with prayer. Then it's about L, listen. We have to learn to listen better. We're so keen to talk sometimes and not always eager to listen. Then eat, not eat your neighbor, by the way, eat with your neighbor, right? We're good at devouring people sometimes, but it's not about that. It's about eating with your neighbor. And then looking for opportunities as the Lord leads to serve your neighbor. And then, of course, the final S is share your story with your neighbor. So that's the journey we're going to go on. I know that you're really going to enjoy this series, right? It'll always be tag team. There'll always be two people presenting the theme. There'll always be the table talk time and all that sort of stuff. It'll be a little bit different as we move through the series, but I know you're going to enjoy it. It's not a checklist. It's not five steps. It's also not a conversion tool, in case you're wondering, right? Your neighbor and your friends who don't know Jesus are not projects, they're people. They're not people to be converted, they're people who Jesus loves. Are we willing to go on a journey with people, even if it takes them a decade, for them to experience the love of God deep within their heart that would cause them to want to turn toward Him? Are we willing to do that? I think unless we're willing to embrace that concept, unfortunately, the stats will continue to go against the church in Australia. We need to embrace the fact that we are called to create kingdom environments wherever we are. We're like leaven, we're like salt, we're like light that can't be hidden, right? We're creating kingdom environments for people to experience the love, the truth, and the grace of God. That's what this series is about. Jesus not only spoke, He showed the kingdom of God. In the same way, we shouldn't just speak, we should show the kingdom of God to people. Amen? Amen. So we seek to be a blessing to build those environments. I pray that by the end of this series, we would be known as the friend of sinners. Just like Jesus was in Matthew 11 and Luke 7, He was called the friend of sinners. I pray that at the end of this series and as we embark on this journey together, that we would be the friend of sinners. I have a lot of, if you want to use the word sinners, because I'm a sinner too, just the difference is I've experienced the grace of God. Some people haven't done that yet, right? But I am now, I would say to you, I am now proud, more proud than I was a couple of years ago, proud to say that I have a growing list of unsaved friends than Christian friends. I want to be known as a friend of sinners. I want to be known as a person they can turn to, someone who that will listen to their cares and concerns, someone who will share with them love, kindness, grace, and yes, truth. And yes, speak words and show it by my actions as well. I want to be that type of person because before I am a pastor, a husband, or a father to my children, I am first a disciple of Christ. Amen? Amen. So that's the intro. So you're going to enjoy this series. I know you will. And here comes Michael Harcourt. So I want you to really encourage him. Come on, Michael. Come along and share with us.
Thank you, Gary, for that introduction. I feel very hyped now. Well, before I begin, let's pray. Let's begin with prayer. Corny. Holy Spirit, we just pray that You would speak to us this morning. Lord, when You speak, we can't stay locked up. We have to be obedient. We have to hear. So I pray that You'd speak through me. Give us discernment to know what's from You and what's not. And lead us in Your will always, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that was in them. And it was good. But mankind rebelled against God. And because of that rebellion, we were separated from Him and cursed. But God didn't leave us in that state. He called a man named Abram and He said, I'll make you into a great nation and I'll bless you. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham. He made his descendants, the Israelite people, his own special people. He gave them a covenant saying, I will be your God and you will be my people. He gave them a law that they would live by that distinguished them from the peoples around them. But even at that moment, God knew that the law wasn't the final solution for humanity's rebellion against Him. Actually, God knew that Israel would rebel anyway. He reveals instead in Isaiah that all we like sheep have gone astray and we've turned every one of us to our own way. But the Lord has laid on Him, that is Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. In Romans, we see that what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law would be fulfilled in us who don't walk according to the flesh but walk according to the Spirit. Jesus died to pay the price for our sin, to purchase us back as children of God. But He also made it clear the payment for sin is not the full story. Jesus Himself has given us this commission. So in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always." You see, Jesus gave us the Great Commission with a great caveat, and that to do his will, we need his power. And that's why he's given us his Spirit to achieve this very thing.
Yeah.
Now, as Gary said, in this sermon series, we're going to be talking about practical ways to love our neighbor. We're going to try to, you know, seek God's kingdom come, and really to try and fulfill the Great Commission in the part that we've been given. But what does that really look like? I mean, we can get caught up in creating ideas and trying to fulfill them, but what does Jesus say? In order to have the nature that we're called to, and in order to be equipped for the task at hand, we need the Holy Spirit. What does Jesus say? We can't even begin the journey without the Holy Spirit. Here in Acts, we see he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, saying, "John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and throughout the whole world." Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem. Do not depart. You need this thing first. We need the Holy Spirit. So let's remember, the payment for sin is not the full story. We need the Holy Spirit as well. Because when we're weak, he's not weak. And when we're unable, he's still well able. Every morning I wake up and I don't know the how. I sometimes feel overwhelmed by this Great Commission, but I don't know the how, but I know the who. It's the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus, it's God the Father. In everything and in all ways, it's his power, his will, and his plan. It's not my own. After all, Jesus said in John 15, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, and you're the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." You see, Jesus gives us two guarantees. The first guarantee is that apart from him, we can do nothing, nothing at all. But the second guarantee is much better, in that when we abide in him and he in us, we will bear much fruit. And we will bear it because it's based upon his plan, his power, and his will. He's the master, we're the apprentices. He's leading us, not the other way around. So let's remember, the payment for sin is not the full story. We need the Holy Spirit, but we must abide to bear fruit. I'm strongly convicted that we as a church, not just here, but across the world, are called to prayer. For a week, not for a month, but as a lifestyle, as part of who we are. Prayer is abiding with Jesus. Jesus has called us to abide. But what does that really look like? Well, we cry out to him, he hears us, and he draws us close to him. We call out to him to know his will, but also to walk in it, and then he leads us in it. We come to him with a heavy heart, come to him with burdens. He gives us peace beyond understanding, and he leads us in his wisdom and his will in our circumstances. We confess our limitations, and he meets our weaknesses with his strength. Yeah? We call out for revival, and he surprisingly says, "I'm going to use you." And then we take a step back and go, "Whoa, God, I don't think I can do that myself." And he's like, "That's what I wanted to hear." And then we say, "God, can you please help me?" And then he leads us in the plan that he had all along. Yeah? We don't need to know all the answers. We need to come to Jesus, clinging to him. We need to know that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we need to know that where he is calling us, he will lead us. Yeah? It doesn't originate in ourselves. God has given us prayer as a gift. It's more than words we speak. We know from Jesus that if we abide in him and his words abide in us, then what we ask, it will be done for us. And that by this, the Father is glorified, that we would bear much fruit and so prove to be the disciples, his disciples. If we treat prayer just like a tool and put it in the shed up on a shelf and only pray when times are hard, then we forget that God has called us and purchased us so that he can be our Father and that we can be his children and that we can walk together, and prayer is a part of that. When we seek to, in this blessed series, to reach out to our neighbours, to love our neighbours as we've been commanded, and to make disciples of the nations, we need to realise that it's by prayer that we seek to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in what he's already doing in our neighbours' lives. Yeah? Already doing. Now, over the past year, I've heard a lot of words come from this pulpit, stuff like micro-church, unlearn, relearn, you know. And if I'm going to confess, those words scare me, not just when I hear them, but, you know, it's a question of doing, and doing is scary for me. But I want to encourage us and remind us that the fruit comes from abiding. If it's a question of how are we going to bear fruit, the answer is it begins in abiding, because it's from that place of abiding that Jesus, by his Spirit, calls us into general and specific things. Specific things, specific people, people in our lives. And ultimately, we need to remember this simple equation, that abiding plus listening to the Holy Spirit plus obedience equals the Great Commission for fulfilled. There's nothing more than that. And there's no space for you being an expert before coming and abiding. You know, it begins in abiding. God's purchased us. He's larger than us. He encompasses us. He leads us. And so it's based in him. So even as Gary was saying before, and he's talking about how we have to love our neighbor, I'm like, man, I'm so unqualified. But really, it just begins in abiding. I'm pretty introverted, but it begins in abiding. And then Jesus leads us. We need to listen and obey. And that's the secret, really. And really, it's prayer that's woven through all of these things. So, put up your hand, really do. Put up your hand if you've heard of the phrase armor of God. Put up your hand. Yeah, most people. Ephesians 6. You can flick there if you want, but we're going fast. So Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus saying, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the gospel of peace, shield of faith, having put on the helmet of salvation. And listen carefully to what he says next. He says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to that end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You see, Paul here has put prayer as part of the armor of God. He didn't associate it with an accoutrement, but it's part of the armor of God. And what does he say? Not to be watchful through our prayers, but rather to be careful that we are always praying. We need to be diligent, and it's going to take intentionality to be always praying and never lose that. It's what he's saying here. It's an integral part, and we can't forget. Now, put your hand up if you've heard of the phrase, fight the good fight or wage the good warfare. Yeah? Wage the good warfare comes from 1 Timothy, where Paul is talking to Timothy, teaching him about how the church is supposed to be. And he says this, I charge this to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you would wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. Now, whether it was the first thing or the last thing, Paul is describing this is the church, this is our character, our manner of being. And he says, importantly and critically, that prayer and supplication, intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all men. So he has put that, Paul, as an integral part. This is his teaching letter to Timothy. Make sure you do these things when you're running the church, when you're building the church up. This is an integral part. Paul makes no small claims here. Now, it's fitting that last week was Pentecost Sunday, because my last example comes from that that very account. Luke writes and he says about 3,000 people were added that day. And then he says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. This is just like what Paul was doing a moment ago. Luke is saying, what characterized those people, those 3,000 people, what characterized them? You know, if it was a Woolworths stocker, then it would be that they went out the back, they picked up the stuff, they put it on the shelves, they served customers. That's what it'd be. But he's talking about the church. So what did the church do? What typifies them? It's the apostles' doctrine, it's fellowship, it's the breaking of bread and prayers. These things are indispensable. They are core to the very personality of the church from the very beginning, from the very beginning. So we see that Scripture clearly shows prayer is central to not only the concept of following Jesus, but it's part of our daily lives. Now, I want to thank everybody because I know this is a praying church and we're not slack in doing that. I know many people pray and we do have the prayer net. And I just want to encourage us all that as a family, praying and continuing in prayer looks like continuing to share our needs so we can pray with each other and continue to see God bring his provision and continue to give thanks when that happens and make it known that God is doing these things. It's written down that, you know, when Peter would walk past and his shadow would fall on people, they would be healed. But what if they didn't write that in Scripture? And likewise, we've got to share when these things happen so that we know, yes, God is moving even now. And praying together and being a prayerful church also looks like continually praying to know God's will going forward. But my last encouragement is that Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus is the builder, we're the abiders, yeah? So let's make sure we abide and let him direct and build and put his plan forth. So can I encourage us all today, the payment for sin is not the full story. We need the Holy Spirit. We must abide to bear fruit. And we must always begin with prayer. Thank you.
Excellent. Well done, Michael. You can keep your clicker. Or you can put the last one on if you want.
Yeah.
A table talk in just a moment. But I was reading this quote yesterday. It was from William Temple. He said this. He was the former Archbishop of Canterbury. He said, when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't, they don't. That's why some people call them God incidences rather than coincidences, right? I find that too. I find that especially the more I am consciously thinking of those around about me who don't know Jesus, the more I'm prayerfully speaking to the Lord about them, I'm asking, Lord, I want to cooperate with what you're doing in their life. Whatever it is you're doing, I want to cooperate with you, right? I don't need to create anything. Whatever you're doing with them, if you need me to be involved right now, I can do that. I'm available. It's a bit of a scary thing to say, right? The other day I was sitting in the gym, I went to the sauna again. And I don't just go to the sauna in the gym, by the way, I do go to the gym. And I was in there, occasionally some people come into the sauna and they come in fully clothed, like in full tracksuit, into a sauna, right? Like they just melt down, right? They love it, all right? They're not boxers either, Ron, right? And this guy was in there a few weeks back and he was fairly chatty, like he started the conversation, which I felt was good, okay? It was just him and me in the sauna. And I asked him why he got a full tracksuit on, dude. He goes, oh, it's the only way to do a sauna, mate. It's like a full tracksuit. It's the way you do it, like that. I go, okay, cool, like that. And he started talking about some general stuff and I said, Lord, what do you want me to talk to him about? Like, I'll just let him ramble on and do nothing, right? Or I can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Lord, what do you want me to say to him? He said, ask him about his family. So I did. I said, tell him about your family. He began to say and talk about how his mum died during COVID and the hassles that COVID created with him. They had to travel New South Wales and they had to cross the border and they weren't going to let him into the nursing home. And he went on and on and on. And he got quite teary. And he said, but I fought them. I was going to see my mum. like this, you know. Young bloke, oh, I saw my mum, you know, effing blind, and he was going on like this, you know. I go, okay. And I said, and then the Lord said to me, so ask more about his mum. Exactly what he said, ask him about his mum. And he began to say how his mum, what age she was, and that she died of cervical cancer. The same thing that killed my mum, roughly around the same age. And I told him that. And he goes, really? Wow. And right there, for the next couple of minutes, we made a connection. I listened to his grief because his mum only just died. And all I did, friends, listen to me, is I just listened to him. I just listened, let him talk. I said a couple of things to him. I can't remember what I said. I know the Holy Spirit was right there in the sauna, right? And all I know is at the end of it, he said to me, he said, thank you so much for listening to me, Gary. I really appreciate it. He said, I've been doing too well with my mental health, you know. I've really been struggling a lot. I want to thank you for listening to me. What do you do? I said, I run a church. He says, can I come sometime? This is exactly what he said. Can I come? I said, of course you can come. And the conversation went from there. But all I'm saying is this, right? If we would just, church, if we would just make ourselves more sensitive to those around about us, this is what this series is about. It's simply about that. It's not rocket science. It's not hard. If we would just get our eyes off ourselves and onto the world, the Holy Spirit's at work in people all around us. He really is. All we have to do is be led by him. You know, it's easy to pray for yourself. My job, my studies, my money, my family, my investments, my health, my anxiety, my children. It's certainly easy to pray for ourselves and even people at church. It's easy to do that, right? But it's much harder to pray for others. To pray for their healing as much as you pray for your own, to pray for their job as much as you pray for your own, their concerns, their mental health, for your neighbours, your work colleagues, and by extension, to pray for the government, the world. Like when you see what's happening in India, do you think anything? Do you pray? You know, when you hear about something that the government are grappling with, new laws regarding euthanasia or aborting babies, whatever, does anything happen inside of you? Like, are we still so centered on what happens on Monday morning at work that we got no time for any of this? It begins with prayer, like Michael said. It does start there. Corrie ten Boom said this, and this, I think, was the most penetrating thing that Michael said this morning, is that God sent revival, and he says, yeah, and I'll use you. And then we repel, we walk backwards, you see. Corrie ten Boom said this, we never know how God will answer our prayers, but we can expect that he will get us involved in the plan for the answer. That's what she said. I don't know why we don't pray more often, or why we don't pray more often for those around about us. Is it that we're too busy? Is it that we're too self-centered? I don't know. Is it that we don't know how to? Maybe. Is it that we have unbelief? We don't even know if prayer works. Does prayer change anything? Have we all experienced that, where we prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing moved or changed? And you had to come back to a place of just surrendering to God and say, God, well, you know better than me? Have you never been like that? We all have, I'm sure. I'm reminded of that story in Acts 9 with Ananias. It says he was just a certain disciple. It didn't say, and the prophet Ananias or apostle Ananias. It says, Ananias, a certain disciple, was praying, and the Lord gave him a vision and spoke to him in the vision and said, I want you to go to Saul. Now, Saul has just met Christ on the road to Damascus. He's been struck blind. You know the story, right? It's all in Acts 9. It's a wonderful story, right? And he says, I want you to go to him. I want you to meet him, lay your hands on him, and I want to do a great work. And he says, I want you to speak to him about the plan I have for his life. And straight away, what does Ananias do? He goes, no way. Well, I'm just paraphrasing. No way. God, do you know who this guy is? As if God doesn't know, right? Do you realize who this guy is, right? This is the guy who kills people, right? He persecutes everyone. I mean, if I go there and speak about Jesus, I'm going to get myself in a load of trouble, right? And the Lord says to him, don't worry, go. This is exactly what I want you to say to him. You see, it begins with prayer. And he goes to Saul, of course. He lays his hands on him. It says, like scales fell from his eyes, and he was healed immediately of his blindness, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit right there. And he speaks over his life, the plan of God for his life. And if you look at Paul's testimonies in Acts 21, Acts 22, and Acts 26, where he repeats three sections of his testimony in different ways to different audiences, he refers back to Ananias as being instrumental. So we always talk about Barnabas, right? Barnabas played a great role in Saul's life too, didn't he? Right? We know that. But Ananias, a certain disciple, he just obeyed. He was praying, got a vision, and he obeyed. Abide, what did Michael say? Abide, listen, obey equals great commission fulfilled. I believe that's true. It starts with abiding. It starts with listening. And then we've got to obey. And if we do that, I really do believe we can see a lot of people experience the love and grace of God. In the book, it talks about prayer being it's just a conversation with God. But remember, all conversations are meant to be two-way, aren't they? So then it goes on and talks about prayer being like breathing. Breathing in and breathing out. Rhythm. Prayer should be a rhythm in our lives. Like breathing in His presence, breathing in His word, breathing in His directions for our life, and breathing out that to a world who doesn't know. In the same way we breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide for the trees to breathe. In the same way we breathe out the word of God, we breathe out His presence. We are supposed to take, we're supposed to receive from Him and give away to know Him and to make Him known, right? Abide, listen, obey. Amen. And I pray that over these next few weeks, we would feel like our confidence is growing in this. I conclude with this idea. Those of you that came last week would agree, it was a great Pentecostal service. It was great to have so many different churches with us on that time. There's some amazing things happening across the denominations across Australia at the moment. I haven't got time to talk about them today, but here's a pattern for us. If you would study the Gospels, you will see on how many occasions Jesus withdrew by Himself to be with the Father, away from the disciple, away from everyone. He withdrew, spent a time in prayer, and then immediately when He comes back from that time of prayer, amazing miracles take place. Almost every time. Okay? It's a great pattern. And as a Pentecostal, I want to encourage you in this. If we want to see some incredible things happen around us as well, it's going to start with us abiding in prayer. It really is. We can't manufacture prophecy. We can't manufacture the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit or it's not. Amen? But He is looking for vessels. He's looking for vessels. And I know that some of you really hunger to see manifestation of healings and miracles. Well, friends, it's going to have to be with prayer. It's going to have to start with that. All right? We can't do it. Only He can. Okay. So table talk. There it is. Thank you. There it is. So grab yourself another coffee. Let's have a chat. We're going to go right through to roughly 11 with 20 minutes of this. Have a chat. All right. And I want us to really continue to embed our table talk time. This is the time where we get to minister to one another, where those of us that might feel more confident in prayer get to speak to others about that. But it's a time when we lean in and listen to each other as well, okay? So, and learn together. Talk about what Michael shared, what I shared about. Maybe tell some stories about things that have happened with you recently and begin to share that with others as well. And then after that, the team are going to come back and sing a song, and we're going to conclude today with you praying for your neighbours, okay? Because it begins with prayer, okay? Okay, let's do that. Grab yourself another coffee if you need to, a snack, and then come back and do that table talk there if you will. For those listening on the podcast, the table talk questions were, what do you find most challenging about prayer? Do you think prayer changes things? And the third discussion point was, have you ever felt prompted by God during prayer to bless someone else? How did you respond and what was the result? Also on your tables, there is a couple of things. There is a bless pledge. That's this A5 piece of paper. And it's not something you have to do, but sometimes making a pledge with the Lord on certain areas of your life is a great thing to do. And I want to encourage you to sign that, put your name down, sign it, and get someone to witness it with you and perhaps hold each other accountable to it. Now, some of you might want to wait until week number 5 to sign the pledge. You might want to hear the 5 sessions of Bless before you sign that pledge. That's totally okay as well. The booklet that's on your table was provided to me from a friend who works at City Life in Melbourne, a very, very large church, who I've developed a series of missional communities. And they did the Bless series just recently, and I was telling him about that, and he said, oh, I'll send you the booklet that we developed. We felt that people really liked the booklet and it helped them just to re-engage with the topic over and over and over again. So we've gone out and had them printed and they're for you, okay? So how many did we get printed? About 100. So there you go. Take one between you or get pass it on to a friend you can, but we'll have them over the next few weeks until we run out, okay? So there you go. I hope you enjoy that as well. So what we're going to do right now is we're just going to end with a song. But what I want you to do is just turn to the person beside you or at your table if there's only 3 of you or 4 of you at that table and just say, I'd like to pray for. And that person hopefully is one of your neighbours. Maybe it's a work colleague. Maybe it's a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter. Maybe it's someone in your community that you're meeting frequently at the shops or, as I said earlier, at the gym, whatever like that. And why don't you just pray for them? Begin with prayer. Let's end with prayer, okay? And the team's going to sing a song and then we're done. So hope you enjoyed this morning. And don't forget, next week will be L. It'll be listen, okay? That'll be next week. Okay, fantastic. Best thing we can do, begin with prayer and actually do that this week. Love your neighbour is what the Lord said. Love your neighbour. This is the book, by the way, Bless by David and John Ferguson. If you want to grab yourself a copy, you can do that. I think go to Coorong, Amazon, you'll get a hold of the book. Okay, bless you.